I just want to share a thought. I just want to take about 15, 20 minutes at the most. And I'm kind of in this space of saying, do I go? Do I not go? Are we done? Is there more to say? But the times we are in are so serious. I pray that those of you that are watching and even those that are here, that you'll go back and listen to what I believe God has spoken to us prophetically as well. But let me just take a moment and share from a passage of scripture just a few points that hopefully will help all of us as we continue to navigate through this season that we find ourselves in. On last week, my message was maintain your kingdom perspective. Maintain your kingdom perspective. I want to continue with that same thought with this addition to it. Maintain your kingdom perspective. Don't be deceived. Maintain your kingdom perspective. Don't be deceived. Kingdom perspective. It's a constant awareness of Jesus, who is King, and his kingdom that encompasses all things. An awareness of the spirit realm that is in operation and the spiritual authority we have in it through Jesus Christ. The acknowledgement that Jesus has all power. Would you say all power? Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and in earth. And as ambassadors, we have been given that power and authority to influence, impact, and affect the natural and spiritual realm for the advancement and the establishment of his kingdom throughout the earth. Maintain your kingdom perspective. Don't be deceived. Looking around our world today, looking at our nation and everything that's going on, can and would cause anyone to look around and say, what in the world is going on? What is happening? It's amazing how the scriptures speak to the life that we live in, the times that we live in. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy. He's writing to Timothy about his assignment. Paul is soon to be executed. And Paul recognizes that he's not going to come out of prison this time. He's going to die in prison. He recognizes that his assignment must now be passed on. He needs to pass on the baton. And so that's why we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is, where Paul is writing and he says to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And then he goes on and he tells him to stir up the gift that's been put in you by the laying on of hands. Later on, he says to him, he says, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course and I kept the faith. But before Paul says that to him, he says some other things to help Timothy recognize how serious things are and what he's going to need to do in order to accomplish what God has purposed for him to do. So it's in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, it says, Paul's writing here and he says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Paul, in his writing, sounds like he's writing to us today. This passage could be written in any publication today as the sign of the times that we're living in. He goes on and he says, don't have anything to do with these people. He says they're looking for those who are gullible. In this particular passage of scripture, it talks about women, but he's talking about men as well, who can be drawn in and pulled in. But those that are drawing them in and pulling them in are only those that are using the word for their own gain. As a matter of fact, many of them are not believers at all. They're counterfeits. But then Paul goes on after sharing the condition in 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 10. He says this to him. He says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live godly, live a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In short, what Paul is saying, follow those who are speaking the truth. Follow those who are true. And he lists five things that I just want to close out with right here. Number one, he says, their lives are open for all to see. Their lives are open for all to see. Paul had nothing to hide. He says, my manner of life from my youth, know all the Jews, Paul had told Agrippa. Timothy had lived and labored with Paul, so he knew Paul. And what Paul was saying is, you want to follow those whose lives you're able to see and know. That it's not just what they say, it's what they live. And I want to help us understand, because right now we are in a line of demarcation. Some may think this is a political war, but this is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And it's not just the political parties. is a fraction even in the body of Christ. As to how we see things, when for all of us, it should all come right back to the Word of God. He says their lives are to be open to you. The second thing he says is they teach true doctrine. Say true doctrine. They teach true doctrine. True faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They teach true doctrine. One of the things that we are seeing happen right now as the body of Christ is being impacted and affected is now we're beginning to see where there is really true foundation and where it's something else. If there's one thing that has helped the church, it's been our ability to use the media to communicate the gospel. But if there's one thing that's hurt the church, it's the media and the mediums by which we communicate the gospel. Because there are things now that are being taught that really are not true. But there are those who have a platform by way of Facebook and some of the other things out there that make others think it's valid. It's amazing what having a platform can do for you. It can make you think you're somewhere that you're not. It can make you think you're someone that you're not. What we don't recognize is often we can find ourselves in a space where we're being drawn to personality more than the validity of the ministry. And we can be drawn into a personality that causes us to want to follow someone even when they start saying things that are not true. Paul says, follow those that teach true doctrine. That teach the Word of God. It's not personality driven. It's Holy Spirit led. It's Holy Spirit led. Now hear me, it doesn't mean that God doesn't use a certain person's personality, but what you ought to be able to see in that is that person continually yields to the Holy Spirit. That person continually points to Jesus, no matter what. The internet can be a wonderful tool, and at the same time, it can be one of the most damaging tools because of the things that are communicated. And now everybody who wants to preach, teach, there's a platform to do that. But Paul is making it clear to Timothy. He says, listen, in the midst of everything that's going on, you want to make sure that you're following those whose lives are open for all to see. Secondly, they teach true doctrine. Thirdly, he says this, that they practice what they preach. Paul's life was backed by his messages. He didn't preach sacrifice and then live in luxury. Let me say that again. He didn't preach sacrifice for everybody else and then he lived in luxury. He gave far more than he received. He stood for the truth even when it meant losing his friends and in the end, losing his life. You remember in Philippians where Paul was talking about himself? He He says, a Pharisee among Pharisees. He said, I had all the degrees. I had all everything that allowed me to sit in that place amongst everyone else. But he said, but I counted it as waste. I gave it all up in my pursuit of Christ, that I may know him even as I am known. Paul didn't live in a place where it was give to me. He poured himself out. Paul understood this, that we are called to be servants, not celebrities. We are called to be servants and not celebrities. And as challenging as it may be to hear and painful to accept, we have made celebrities in the church. We have placed individuals into celebrated spaces and places. And if we operate out of that place, it's always going to be less than what God intended. Paul was a servant. Every leader called to serve, called to lead, should be a servant leader. Our challenge has been in our country that we have sought out celebrity over servants. Paul says to Timothy, seek out those who practice what they preach, those who really have a heart to serve. Those of us that have been given the wonderful opportunity to lead congregations, those of us that have been given the opportunity to create, to be able to offer things that enhance lives in the body of Christ, we must always recognize that at the end of the day, it all gets laid down at the foot of Jesus. It all gets submitted at the cross. The fourth thing that Paul said to Timothy was this: seek out those who know that their purpose is to glorify God. There was never a question in Paul's mind of his purpose in ministry. He wanted to do God's will. He wanted to finish the work that he was given. As a matter of fact, in Acts 20 and 24 is where we see the passage of scripture where Paul receives the word from the Holy Spirit saying, where you're going, or Paul says, I do not know what awaits me where I'm going, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies that I will be arrested, I will be beaten, I will have to suffer. And he says, but none of this will stop me from going, because my desire is that God be glorified through me. Paul says to Timothy, you want to follow those who understand their purpose is to glorify God. Paul was a man who understood suffering. He gave himself to serve others. He understood what it meant to be patient. He understood what it meant to endure, to stick it out. The last thing he says to Timothy is follow those who are willing to suffer. Follow those who are willing to suffer. Paul didn't ask others to suffer for him. He suffered for others. He was persecuted from city to city, and yet he never stopped serving God. The scripture says those that will live godly or will choose to live godly will suffer. It's part of the dynamic of the kingdom of God in a world, a fallen world. So how do we navigate through this place we find ourselves in? I'm going back to Timothy, starting at the beginning. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, there will be terrible times in the last days. These are the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's religion. So how do we navigate through that? Paul tells him right here in these 5 points. Follow those, look for those. Their lives are open for all to see. They teach true doctrine. They practice what they preach. Their purpose is to glorify God, and they are willing to suffer. They are willing to endure. That's what I want to encourage you to look for, to keep your eyes on. When Paul writes this, he's saying, these are the people who are true followers of Christ. Maintain your kingdom perspective. Don't be deceived. Hallelujah.